Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, this is Bitch Slap.
I'm Rachel Fisher.
I'm Desi Jenikin.
And this is Melrose Place Season 3, Episode 11.
The Days of Wine and Vodka.
Oh boy.
This is an Allison-centric episode. You can tell by the title.
You can tell by the title, and what a great episode it is.
Oof. There were some moments.
I love this episode.
Yeah, it's good.
So we begin with Allison trying to apologize to Joe in the courtyard for her behavior in the previous episode.
This might not come out right, but sometimes I feel like there are things that are so bad you can't even apologize for them. Like, there's no apology that will make this better. Do you know what I mean? Like,
this is also something you can't just do like the very next morning.
No.
You gotta like give this one a little time to marinate.
Or it can maybe be more effective after you completely give up alcohol and change your life.
When she's making amends.
Yes.
When she's
yes.
making her amends to Joe. But
this is not like the next morning. So sorry, I was late last night, or I forgot to meet you at Shooters last night. It's no. Like, that's what she's apologizing like, though.
But Allison this is a very accurate depiction of somebody in active alcoholism constantly apologizing to everyone around them.
And the excuses are like, I had too much coffee.
That was incredible because Joe's like, you were high. And she's like, I just had too much coffee. And Joe's furious. She's like, you smell like a brewery.
And Joe is right to be mad. I mean, this is insane what Allison did.
She's absolutely right. And because of Allison's behavior, she's fired from being her godmother.
Yeah, and I love the ending of this cold open because the gate to Melrose Place shuts and we see Allison behind bars.
Yeah.
I was like, that is brilliant.
That's some foreshadowing.
Yeah, I was like, that's good. They did something there.
I love that. Who was the director this episode?
We'll find out. It's like David Fincher's first TV episode.
Right. After the credits, Billy and Susan wake up and they're all disgustingly kissing each other. And Susan's like, I have to go to the farmer's market because I'm a chef.
For what? What job does she have?
Yeah, what is her job?
Like, what is she buying vegetables for?
Not for Billy.
And getting up that early. Like, you could just go to fucking Whole Foods or whatever existed at the time. Like,
yeah.
This scene was disgusting.
She also wants to make Thanksgiving, which honestly, I wouldn't rather die than eat Susan's Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, here's what's gross. Because they're like, when can we fuck? And Billy's like, I have off on Thursday. And then we find out that that's Thanksgiving. I was like, you're going to fuck on Thanksgiving? I'm sorry. There's no time during the day. And then you're not going to want to fuck after eating Thanksgiving dinner.
No.
That's the least fucked on day of all time. Like, are you serious, Billy?
No, you're sweating gravy by the end of the day on Thanksgiving.
I thought it was insane to me, but very Billy. I have off on Thursday. Because I was like, why do you have off on Thursday? Then I was like, oh, it's Thanksgiving, you idiot. No.
He's like, oh, what are you going to cook on Thanksgiving? And she lists a bunch of French bullshit that she's going to make. I hate this bitch so much.
And I love that Billy nags her.
Yeah.
He's like, come on.
He said, how about just roast some turkey and yams?
Something like that.
And you know what? He's right.
He's absolutely right.
Because this is what she's suggesting. She's suggesting making a roast chicken with a port wine sauce and a foie gras for Thanksgiving.
The foie gras. I was like, girl, no.
This isn't your time to be creative with chicken.
Thanksgiving has a pretty set menu. I think it's fine to go off, but come on. This is your, no one wants to eat foie gras. That's not something everyone likes.
But unless you're having foie gras as like an appetizer, and look, I don't like it, but if you're offering that in on like an appetizer
with other things.
With other things, but as part of your main dishes.
Also, I feel like it has to be agreed upon.
Everyone has to agree that we're eating that.
Or we're eating untraditional. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's fine, but you can't say, oh, I'm serving Thanksgiving dinner. People will expect something different.
They'll expect at least one traditional item that everyone's getting hungry for on Thanksgiving. And fucking Susan wants to experiment in the kitchen with her port wine reduction bullshit chicken.
She's annoying.
She's so irritating.
Also, I just don't like when she says it in like an accent.
She says it in an accent. Shut up. We get it. You know French cooking terms. We all know fucking French cooking terms.
Yeah.
That's the only French I know.
Me too.
That and ballet terms. That's literally it.
I know.
You're not
like
special.
Some basics.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi?
I
know that.
If it's in a song, I know it.
Billy's like, Susan wants to make dinner for Melrose Place to like pacify everybody. She wants to like become their friends, and specifically Allison. She wants to smooth things over with Allison.
That's what makes that meal she wants to do even more. Like that's not going to pacify anyone, girl. Make them some good food.
Although it would have been really funny to see a scene where Allison's drunkenly dunking on what Susan made.
And she has like one of those little mini squab legs in her mouth.
Yeah.
She's like, no, that's... No, that's a scene.
That is a scene.
See, you're right on that.
She would have been like, your turkey's dry, just like your pussy.
No.
Jesus. I'm sorry, the cat did something. Anyway, Billy's like, well, you need to ask Allison.
Why? I mean, I want to see Allison at Thanksgiving, but why would you do this? I'm sorry. This is so wrong. There's no way this doesn't end in disaster.
This is super wrong. Jane goes over to Sydney's apartment, and she's awfully chipper.
What's this about? Like, I truly was like, Jane, what are you doing? Why do you think Sydney would ever want to
associate with you?
This is crazy. Jane has issues. Like,
Jane is a dark person.
Well, because she's always cutting people out, but then turns on a dime and acts like nothing happened.
Yeah.
It's really weird.
She needs help, and she's wants Sydney to come with her to Chicago for Thanksgiving. And Sydney's smart. She's like, absolutely not. Do you think I want to spend any time with my dad who literally tried to get me locked up? And you guys collaborated to get me put in the loony bin? I don't think so.
Why would... I mean, I was just like, just because of Jane, I was saying, no, I forgot about the dad too until she said it. I was like, yeah, her dad just tried to commit her.
Yeah.
You fucking crazy.
And she's like, and if you think I'm going to spend any time with your nut job boyfriend on Thanksgiving, you're nuts.
Jane
crazy.
Is crazy.
And Jane is like, Sydney, you have to forgive mom and dad.
Ugh.
And Sydney's like, honestly, fuck dad.
No, Jane is purely doing this to look good for her parents.
Yes.
What a little bitch.
Michael and Kimberly are at, like, are they at a lawyer's office?
Honestly, I thought it was a doctor because he seemed to know about her pregnancy issues. And then but then I think it was a lawyer or an adoption person. I don't know what
this
person was.
This is the woman they first talked to. It's not the doctor.
Oh, it's not
yet.
The doctor yet. Right. So I guess it was an adoption agency or a lawyer who specializes in adoptions.
Or like surrogacy.
Right.
So they're discussing hiring a surrogate to have a kid. And Michael is like so couldn't not be less interested in this.
No, this is a great Michael Kimberly scene because she just keeps getting slammed by bad information and Michael's loving it, but trying to act like he cares, but he's like happy. It's sort of the finances of it all are thwarting the plans.
Right. Cause they learn that doing surrogacy is going to be like very expensive because they're going to have to pay for all of the surrogate's care and hospital needs and just whatever. Like they have, right. they have this person, like they have to spend a lot of money. And Michael's like, Well,
I'd love to do it,
but my hands are tied. We got student loans.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm definitely down when we pay off our student loans, which we know never happens.
Yeah, he says, well, thanks for the info. Looks like we're out of our league.
Oh, well.
Oh, well, too bad.
He's like, he's happy.
Allison has lunch with Zach, her cool boyfriend, who's like the one fun person left in this cast.
He needs to go to Al-Anon.
No, he needs to go to AA.
Oh, okay. Well, he's also an enabler, though.
he's exactly the kind of person you hang out with when you're deep in your alcoholism because he's a lower companion. He's someone who you look to, you're like, well, I'm not as bad as that guy.
But I think she doesn't even see him that way yet. He's just like pumping her up, like calling on her friends crazy.
Yeah, he drinks just as much as she does, so he enables it.
Yeah, totally.
And she thinks it's normal.
And he's there with all the excuses for her. He's like, here's why Billy does this. Here's why Amanda does that.
Yeah. And she asks him at lunch as they're drinking huge glasses of wine. She's like, do you think I have a drinking problem? And he's like, no. And she's like, well, Joe accused me of coming to court drunk. And he's like, well, Joe sucks.
He's basically like, your friends are dorks.
Yeah. Kind of awesome.
I was like, I love this for Allison. She's actually needed to hear this for a while.
She really did.
But it's the wrong circumstances.
No, she needed someone to tell her that her best friend is a fucking loser.
No, this is totally, it's like the equivalent of like, they're just jealous because you're pretty. Yeah. Like all her friends are jealous and trying to like stomp down her beautiful personality. Yeah. And fun-loving ways.
And being cool.
Yeah.
And they're jealous that she's having fun buying convertibles and hanging out with a guy with a soul patch. They're Dude, so mad.
That's something I cannot see without wanting to shave it.
Yeah, me too.
It literally makes me itch. Like, yeah. I cannot. It's crazy. I hate it. And he's, like, attractive. He looked good this episode.
He looked really good this episode.
Except for that soul patch.
He's like, well... Looks like she's like, yeah, you know, I ruined Joe's or whatever. Joe's so mad at me. He's like, yeah, well, the verdict didn't go in her favor. So who's really the loser?
No, I love that. She's not mad at you. She's just mad because she lost.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, because of Allison.
That was incredible.
I was like, he's good.
No, this guy's so good.
Everything she said, he turned around. And I was like, damn, I'd believe him too.
Where was this guy when I was at rock bottom? This guy could have kept me in my addiction for like 3 more years. Where was this guy?
And he would have made you feel great.
No, he would have made me feel so sexy and so hot. Yeah. And he would have like taken me to clubs.
Yeah, you're not in the gutter, baby. You look hot down there.
Right. But like the reality is I'm still in the gutter. But yeah. He's like, you're doing fine. You're killing it. Slay, mama.
Look, we all need someone to gas us up.
Yeah, Allison's got it made with this guy. And he seems to have money too.
I don't know much about him except that he's great at, you know, building up her self-esteem.
I'm happy for Allison right now.
And he's hot.
He's super hot. And he says, give yourself and then she says, well, Amanda also says that I'm drunk. And he's like, yeah, well, Amanda's dad's a convict who died.
Dude, that was like when that guy, Jeff Paison, went off on Jacob Wool's father. Do you remember that tweet?
No.
Jacob Wool's father, he's like a conservative grifter online.
Jacob Wool.
His dad like went after Jeff Paison, who was a baseball writer. And Jeff Faison was basically like, oh yeah, well, why don't you say hi to your son in jail or something like that. It was like a below the belt.
Oh my God.
Bringing up like something kind of low.
Right.
But that's what, what's his name? Zach did in that moment. It's like, so really?
Funny.
Her dad who like just got killed by his girlfriend on a boat. Like
that was like, so funny.
It was so, I was like, damn, that is brutal.
Also, as if that has anything to do with Allison being a drunk.
Or as if Amanda's at fault right. in any of, do you know what I mean? It's, yeah. it's like so wrong.
It's so funny.
That loser, isn't her dad the one who died? How embarrassing.
Yeah, wasn't her dad murdered?
By his girlfriend? What a loser. I really wouldn't be throwing stones at glass houses if I was Amanda.
Honestly, Zach rules.
I mean, he's done what no one else on the show has done, taking Amanda down a peg. It's too bad she wasn't there to hear it.
Honestly, it would be so fun to hang out with Zach, probably.
Oh, because he like tears everyone to shreds and you could just sit there and innocently take it all in without saying anything mean and be like, holy shit.
He's someone who enables your worst behaviors and I love that.
No, it's fun to be around sometimes, for sure.
He'd be like, you don't need to be on a diet. Come on.
Come on. You only live once.
He's amazing.
No.
And then he convinces Allison to buy a new car.
Finally.
Because, I mean, look, this was actually reasonable.
I always, it's during these moments where I'm like, how poor is she? I mean, she seems like she has cheap rent and a pretty good job that where she'd be making like pretty good money.
For a 26-year-old or 25-year-old, however old she's supposed to be, way more money than I was making at that age.
No, and she's buying like, yeah, it's a convertible, but those aren't always expensive necessarily. It could just be like whatever.
What were those convertibles that were really hot? Was it like a Malibu? What were those convertibles in the 90s? That kind of looked like that.
Monte Carlo or?
Yeah,
it's
maybe.
Like one of those Buick cars.
It's like an American-made. It's like an American-made convertible.
Yeah, it's not the Cabriolet.
It's not that.
It's like a...
It's the same shape as the car.
But it's like a...
It's kind of sporty.
Buick.
It's definitely an American-made, like a Buick.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But
I can't remember.
But it has like kind of a flossy name.
Yeah, I wish I could remember. But I know exactly what you're talking about. I want to say like Monte Carlo or like La something.
Yeah, it's something that sounds fancy.
It's yeah.
But it's kind of trashy.
I kind of
but incredible.
I would never buy one, but I do kind of always get excited when I see one of those cars that looks like a rich old smoker drives.
Ugh.
They're like a tank, but it's kind of like Cadillac-esque, but not a Cadillac.
No. I mean, like honestly, my dream car, I still wish I had a Cutlass Supreme.
Oh yeah.
Like an 87 Cutlass.
No, those cars are I don't know. I just love them.
I love a tank car.
They're definitely like a vibe.
My first car was a tank. It was a 1992 Volvo sedan.
Ooh.
It was white with tan leather interior.
I was going to say tan leather was the thing.
Tan leather. I got it. It was already an old car. It was already 12 years old when I bought it. My dad bought it for me for my 18th birthday and it was used. Obviously.
Did you crash it?
No, worse. Somehow worse than crash it. I gave the car keys to my drug dealer as I got on the plane to go to rehab. I never saw the car again, but he did rack up $1,000 worth of
parking tickets
and then auction fees because he had the car auctioned off.
Oh my God.
Devastating.
That's crazy.
Devastating. And then I remember whining to my sponsor about having to pay the city of Santa Barbara and San Pedro and like all these places where I had racked up all these charges. And she said to me, baby, that's your fault, honey.
not a Zach moment.
It was no.
You needed Zach in that moment to
I
be
needed,
like, what? That loser and the city of Santa Barbara can suck my dick.
No, that's the answer I wanted to hear. And she's like, baby, you gave your car keys to your drug dealer? What do you think was going to happen?
Yeah. I wasn't thinking straight.
Well, you got me there. You got me there. And I lost the coolest car I would ever own.
Yeah.
For the rest of my life. Anyway. If you're driving my car somewhere, please Please call me. 740, a 740 Turbo Volvo, 1992. Turbo. I still think about her.
No, it's crazy.
It's probably a coke rock, some meth rock somewhere.
Yeah.
Down on the floor.
They're living it up.
You might find something fun in that car. Anyway, so at D&D, Bruce stops by Amanda's office and she's like, Bruce, what are you doing here? And he's like, news of the heart attack was leaked to the press. How big of a ad agency is this that they're doing press on D&D's CEO?
Seriously, to the press? Like, he could just say something like, word got out in the industry.
Have you ever even heard of like an advertising agency? Like, do you even know the name of a single?
Was it like an Ad Weekly or whatever, that magazine? I don't know. I mean, clearly they just needed to have, they just made it up.
But he said the press.
Yeah.
And then not only that, but this is like a publicly traded company too.
That was news to me.
Which
I was shocked.
Crazy.
No, this is all, they don't give a shit. This is all made up bullshit.
This is us writing this script.
You're like, and they got stock options. Like, not thinking about like how that happens. This would never be a publicly traded company. I'm sorry.
They're acting like this is Apple Computers.
Yeah. Don't you have to like produce things to be
a, why is this a publicly traded company?
I don't know.
Why do they have stocks?
Is this like the real stock market or a lower budget stock market?
And he says that the stock in the company has plummeted and that somebody has already bought a big chunk of D&D's stock. And because of this, he's anticipating a takeover. And Amanda's playing real dumb. She's like, oh, well, who would buy a chunk of stock?
Because Bruce is sweaty. He's as sweaty as he was on the dance floor. He's not looking well.
He does not. He looks like he's about to cry.
No, he's on the verge of dying again. Like,
he should not be in that office.
No. So basically, yeah. It's like someone leaked this information to drop the stock price and then buy a whole bunch of it while it was cheap.
And he says to her, someone deliberately leaked this information. He thinks this is an inside job. And then he leaves the office because she's like, go home. And then so Amanda immediately calls Peter and she's like, Bruce said someone bought a big chunk of D&D stock, but he doesn't know who did it. And Peter is in his villain era. He's like, don't worry, Amanda. It's us, our investment group.
Yeah. So she kind of knows, but she didn't know all that.
She didn't know that Peter bought this stock.
No, because she's kind of suspicious. So she checks in.
And it's true.
Absolutely.
Should we take a quick break here?
Sure.
Okay.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Allison and Zach are driving around in her brand new silver convertible, and she is having the time of her life.
Yeah, she's like, I don't know how I'm going to pay for this.
She's loving it.
But she's loving it.
And Zach uses the car phone.
Yeah.
Because this car has a car phone to call his assistant Sandra. And he's like, Sandra, give me the San Obispo Ranch in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Fake hotel name.
Because why would you have San Obispo, San Luis Obispo? hotel in Santa Barbara.
They're like, what else is Central California?
That's a completely different town. It's yes, why'd they do that?
San Luis Obispo is like 2 hours north of Santa Barbara.
It's crazy.
Anyway, he books a room at this fancy hotel in Santa Barbara. And he's like, we'll see you in 2 hours. And Allison's like, Zach, I have to work. And he's like, fuck that. You don't have to work. Who cares?
Yeah. Your life.
He keeps talking about phases. He's like, this is buying the new car is phase one. Phase two is fucking out of work.
I love that he's just like, you tell them you can't come. And they have to deal with it. He really overestimates Allison's value at D&D.
Yeah. And she's like, Zach, I have a meeting in the morning. He's like, well, it's fine. We'll drive back tonight. We'll go up there, spend some time, and then drive back tonight.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen.
Give me a break.
That night, they're drinking champagne by the fire in their hotel suite, and Allison is living. She literally says to him, I have never been this happy in my entire life.
And I believe it.
I totally believe it. And Zach is so horny for her.
Yeah.
He's like, you are an amazing woman. You're so cool, Allison.
Allison has never heard someone call her cool before.
Yeah.
Ever.
Or make her... I don't think any man has ever made her feel as sexy as Zach makes her feel. Because I don't think Billy made her feel sexy.
Because all she's had is Billy and that fucking computer dork.
And Keith.
Oh, I forgot about Keith.
But all trash.
All trash men. All of them aren't hot.
Right.
So it's like... Even them saying you're hot, it's kind of like, yeah, I know. That's like, for you, I'm the best you can get. Well, and you want like a hot person to tell you hot. It's different.
It's a different level.
It hits different.
It hits different when a real, when a legitimately hot man.
Is like, I want to fuck you so much.
Or when like a really hot woman is like, you're so pretty.
Yeah. That it hits. Just hits different. It's all nice. It's all good, but it's like she's only had lesser guys. So this is the first time she's had someone as hot or better.
And I just also don't think Billy's ever made her feel like sexually desirable. Like, I mean,
because they're friends. That's their whole thing.
And even though I agree that they should be together as a couple, ultimately in the end, like I do think they're like each other's soulmates. I just, in terms of like raw animal sex, this is her guy.
But that's why she needs to get this kind of stuff up before she could go do best friend relationship. She can get this out of her, you know, sow her wild oats. Women need to do it too.
He's like, why don't we put another log on the fire? And Allison gets up to put a log on the fire. And he's like, because it's going to be a long night. No. Should have brought Coke.
Dude, Zach is snoring.
He passes out immediately.
Ugh, so disappointing.
And she's like, oh, well.
I'm too drunk anyway. I would throw up if I got pounded. If he broke my back right now, I would vomit.
At Shooters, a real slick-looking guy.
A real Goomba.
Stops by looking for Jake.
He's from like the off Broadway show Sopranos, the musical.
Yes.
Like it is bad.
It's so bad. This was a real groaner of a storyline until the twist was revealed.
I was going to say the same because boy, did I not see that coming.
I honestly had forgotten.
I obviously watched this, but had completely forgotten. And I was like, I literally was like, oh my God. I was like, that's crazy. I was losing it.
No, I totally gasped. And I did out loud say, oh my God.
Me too. I was like, I have never been this shocked in my lifetime.
No, this was a bigger twist than prestige television has ever done.
No, it is crazy. It is bigger than The Sixth Sense.
This is screenwriting.
They led us there and we were completely unprepared for it.
It was so unprepared. So this guy stops by and he says, let's just say I'm a friend. And he knows a lot of information about Jake. He knows that he recently bought Shooters. And he's like, who the hell are you? And he's like, my name's Mr. Black. It's clear this guy's a mobster, and he's basically offering Jake protection.
Yeah.
He wants $1,000 a month from Jake to offer him protection.
But if he knew anything about Jake, he would know Jake's not going to go for this.
No, Jake has principles.
Jake is like, burn me down. I've had all my businesses burned down. You could burn this one down too before I give you a fucking dime.
Yeah, he's like, you think that's going to stop me? My last business exploded.
Yeah, I think I'm scared. Nothing can hurt me anymore.
I clung to a buoy for 3 days.
You can't break me.
You can't break me.
The sea creatures didn't break me. The shark circling didn't break me.
I didn't even have to go to the hospital. Yeah. And I had hypothermia.
I walked out looking hot as ever.
I was in the Pacific Ocean for 3 days.
I had a little centimeter wide cut on my eyebrow.
After being violently thrown from an exploding yacht.
And in the water for 3 days. Not a single raisin finger.
I went to Shooters and had a beer.
Yeah. So that's who you're fucking with.
And so this guy's like, he leaves after Jake slams him up against the wall and is like, I wouldn't give your boss a quarter. And then Sydney's like, Jake, those guys are really serious.
Yeah. She's like, she overheard it all.
Yeah. And she knows about these mobsters because she was one of Lauren's girls. So she's like, you got to give them what they want. Otherwise, they're going to kill you. And Jake's like, eh, they can go to hell.
Yeah.
He doesn't care.
He does not care.
The next morning, Allison does it again. She wakes up and she's like, oh my God. She's like, my meeting's in 15 minutes.
She's like 2 hours away.
She's 2 hours north in Santa Barbara. Ugh. And she's got a meeting at D&D in 15 minutes. And Zach's like, relax. He's like, you got to remember the new Allison. You got to do what works for you. So you call them and you say you're not coming.
Yeah. It's hot, I have to say.
It was pretty hot. And she's freaking out. And he goes, when was the last time you took a mental health day? And she lies. She's like, I've never taken a mental health day. That is bullshit. This bitch was taking days to fuck Keith.
She literally took a day off to do Christmas shopping.
I forgot about that.
That was the lowest of... And she, like, told Amanda, too.
No, she's like, Amanda, I didn't finish my Christmas shopping in time. Can I go to... I need to go to the Beverly Center.
No, you need to say you have food poisoning, girl. Like,
right, because everyone knows what that means. And they're like, stay away from me and your diarrhea ass.
No, it's like, to actually say you need to do your Christmas shopping, that is something you never admit to.
No.
To your work? I'm sorry.
You always go with food poisoning.
No, it's crazy.
And now, you know, well, you don't want to lie about having COVID, but she, if you were a drunk, you could do that.
If you had no more, like she already fucked her best friend over. What's lying about COVID?
She's like, I have COVID. And they're like, what's COVID? Just trust me.
Trust me. It's bad.
You don't want it.
No.
So she calls. And Allison talks to Amanda's secretary and is like, will you tell Amanda I won't be in this morning, but I will be in for the lunch meeting. So she makes a compromise.
Yeah.
Matt is having lunch with his parents and Jeffrey.
Yeah. So we haven't seen his parents.
In two seasons.
Yeah.
Since like season one.
Where they kind of like begrudgingly accepted that he was gay. Right?
Yeah,
like the dad was having some issues.
The dad was real homophobic, and the mom was just idly standing by, not standing up for her son.
No. And then they finally kind of came together, sort of half-heartedly.
Yeah, he's like, I guess if my son's gay, I'll have to live with it.
I love my gay son.
I think he said that, too. He was like very begrudging about his gay son.
Matt was like, I'll take it.
So this seemed like kind of a big deal.
I thought so.
That he was having lunch with Jeffrey, his boyfriend. Jeffrey goes to get the car at the valet stand, and Matt asks his parents if he can bring Jeffrey to Thanksgiving. And they say yes. So I'm like, oh, wow, everything's like cool.
I did think it was sort of like interesting that he waited for Jeffrey to be gone before asking, though.
Well, in case they said no.
Yeah.
And didn't want to make it
so
awkward.
I feel like that was kind of like a sign that they still aren't 100%.
He's testing the waters.
Yeah, for sure.
He doesn't trust it yet with them.
No, and he's right. He's right for that.
Kimberly goes to the fertility doctor, and he's like, Kimberly, I told you, you cannot carry a fetus to term. And she's like, but doctor, isn't there something you can do? And she's just like, please, the cost doesn't matter. Like she's like telling him all these different things. And he's like, here's what you can do, Kimberly, is see a fucking therapist.
Yeah, because she's like, at some point she's like, even like, wasn't there like a black market for babies?
Well, she says that after.
Oh, okay.
He suggests a therapist to her, and that's when she's like, I don't need a therapist. I need a black market baby. He's like, you need a therapist.
No, he's like, see, that proves it. You right. just asked for a black market baby.
Like, that's why it was so funny. And he says, I'm appalled that you would even ask. You're a doctor.
And she's pissed.
She is so pissed. She storms out.
She's like, you have three kids. It's easy for you to say.
Right.
Your ugly fucking kids on your desk.
Yeah, she's so mean to him. She storms out of his office and she runs into Joe, who happens to be in the waiting room.
So this doctor is like at the same clinic or whatever where Joe goes. But was this the doctor she was seeing before who told her she couldn't have a baby?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's like not necessarily a fertility. He's just like a gynecologist. I'm just like confused what this office is. Look, like do it all.
They do it. Anything to do with the uterus or the pussy, they do.
Yeah. If the character has something related to their pussy, they're at this doctor.
So Joe is like, are you okay? Oh, no. She asks if Joe's okay. And Joe's like, no, not really. They awarded custody of my baby to the Carters.
It's terrible news. Eeyore.
And Kimberly's like, oh, no, I'm so sorry, Joe.
But she's scheming.
She's like, this could be good for me somehow.
How can this Joe's misery benefit me?
Meanwhile, Allison speeds up in her convertible. This was so cool.
I was like, what is happening right now?
She speeds up in her convertible, comes to a screeching halt at the valet stand.
She's like burning rubber.
Blaring rock music. It's like electric guitar, like.
It's like, is she drunk now?
She's like wasted. Comes to a screeching stop in front of the valet stand where Billy and Amanda are waiting outside, about to go inside for this like lunch meeting.
And then they both start roasting Allison.
Yeah. And Amanda says to Allison, if I find out that you took the morning off to buy a new car, you're fired. And Allison's like, give me a, she's like, whatever. And then Billy's like, Billy is so smart.
He nails her to the wall.
He nails it. He nails the whole thing. He goes, I think you bought a new car yesterday afternoon, took a long drive, got really drunk, had to sleep it off.
No, I was like, damn.
He got the whole timeline right, yeah, too. Yeah,
that's, and you know, I mean, Allison was like, you know, when your ex nails you to the wall, you're like, fuck you, yeah, you don't know me. It's so irritating.
She says, bad guess, Billy. And yeah, then Amanda says, well, if the shoe fits.
Yeah.
And then she says, I mean, those are the same clothes we were wearing yesterday, Allison.
Allison's trying to adjust her little red suit.
She's wearing the same like ugly brown paisley top and red skirt suit.
Yeah.
That just looks like shit.
And she's like their version of Allison. It's like, if you didn't know the storyline, she looks great. Right. Like, she looks fine,
yeah,
but we know it's Allison and that's disheveled for her.
Yeah.
Because she kind of doesn't look that bad if you didn't know.
Right. And Allison's like, what's the big deal? I took a quarter of a personal day. That evening, Susan returns to the apartment and Billy's moping on the couch, nursing a beer.
And I hate mopey Billy.
Mopey Billy's the worst. And Susan wants to go see a movie and he's like, you go. And she's like, Billy, I've never seen you like this before. And he's like, it's Allison. She's out of control. And Billy's like, maybe we shouldn't invite her to Thanksgiving.
And Susan tries to cheer him up in one of the most disturbing ways possible. She's like, come on, let's do this, let's do that. And then she's like, do you want me to dance naked? I was like, Susan, no, we do not. That will not, that's not how you cheer someone up who's depressed. You start dancing naked. That's like psychotic. Can you imagine being like depressed, sitting on the couch and being in misery and someone starts dancing naked in front of you?
I think it's more that it's Susan dancing naked that it repulses me.
I'm not saying it would repulse me for everyone, but I'm like, I'm really not in the mood for this right now. I'm in a bad mood.
It might work for a straight man, but as a woman,
right?
As a woman, that would make me so furious.
You don't want to see like some dick flopping. It's like, maybe this will be funny one day, yeah, but not right now.
No, right now I'm having an existential crisis. I don't want to see your dick and balls.
It's also just something about Susan presenting that. It's like, that's not who you are, Susan, either. I don't buy it.
Susan is a sexless person to me.
No, she's a dork. She's so boring.
She's the worst person on this show.
What a bad personality. It's just so bad.
She's so boring. Susan suggests that they invite Zach to Thanksgiving.
The wrong move.
Honestly, I would die to see that foursome.
What would that be like?
It would be, here's what it would be like. Allison and Zach getting wasted and dominating the entire conversation.
And having the time of their lives. And
so much fun.
Billy and Susan are just silent.
They're silent. And
seething.
And Allison and Zach are just like laughing and talking. And Billy and Susan are too boring to even speak.
And they're just saying things to Billy and Susan like, have you guys ever fucked in the ass? Yeah. Like just saying the rudest things to make them super. You really let her fuck you in the ass?
Yeah. Totally.
You like anal, you know what he used to do to Allison? Allison was always down for the brown town. Like, totally like making them so uncomfortable.
Or like, oh, Susan, you ever, Billy, you ever suck on Susan's ladle?
Yeah. Just like totally torturing them and yes. They're like silent and can't, but it actually destroys their relationship.
Yes. Because later when Billy and Zach are gone and fucking partying somewhere else, they're bickering about it. Why didn't you defend me there? Why did you say something?
Right.
You didn't stand up for me.
You never tried to fuck me in the ass.
Why didn't they go to Thanksgiving? This would have been so cool.
This would be the scene of the year.
Ugh. When we reboot Melrose Place, we'll have that scene.
Yeah. That's what we need to do. Here's what you were missing.
Here's what could have an already perfect show. Here's our take on it.
It's just adding more.
We're just adding more.
Yeah.
Anyway, Billy's like, I hate that guy. But he agrees to invite both of them.
He just hates Zach because Zach is cool and hot.
Yeah. And has fun. At Shooters, Jake is taking the trash out in the alley when Mr. Black is waiting for him. And some other guys are there too. And they like kick the shit out of him.
I always don't like when people are on the ground and they get kicked one last time in the side.
Ribs. Yeah.
That always just looks so painful.
No, it looks bad. And they're like, you got 24 hours to make your first payment. And Sydney runs out and finds Jake as the guys are leaving.
I will say one thing that did make me laugh, because Jake's like in the back taking the garbage out. And he's like, fuck you to Mr. Black. And then all of a sudden we see some guy lift a garbage can in the head.
Yeah, he gets his first blow comes from somebody off screen, like a random
thug.
Just
a huge garbage can.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know why it made me laugh because it was so random.
I don't know if you were watching closely in the very next scene, but the next morning, Billy is digging through the trash. Did you notice that?
No.
It is like a shot of Billy. I was trying to figure out what he was doing. I think they were like, go pretend like you're taking out the trash, but there was like...
Too much time to fill?
Too much time to fill. So his hand... I took a picture of it.
Okay, good.
Billy is in the background. His hands are literally in the trash can, and he's just like, he's pushing.
They're like, do space work.
He's doing... They're like...
Okay, wait. Yeah, I completely missed this.
No, it's just a shot of Billy in the background doing like way too much business.
That's so crazy.
He's like trying to fill time before...
Because what is this scene that's coming up?
Allison.
Oh, okay, right.
Allison is on her way to work and Billy sees her. So he is like, Billy has to wait for Allison.
He's killing time to see her. That's funnier. Because he's like, she's not coming out. I have to like act like I'm doing something. No, like I'm not waiting for her.
No, but he's doing something that makes no sense. He has both of his hands in the garbage can and he's like pressing down, compacting.
Because why not just wait on the staircase and then act like you're walking down when she leaves?
No, it's crazy. He's like,
that's so funny.
His whole hands are in there. Allison's on her way to work, and Billy apologizes for coming down hard on her. And he's like, are you going to come to Thanksgiving dinner or what?
Yeah.
And she's like, I don't know, Billy. That's going to be really uncomfortable. And he's like, let's look at this as a fresh start, Allison. And she's like, fine, we'll be there.
She's so over it.
At the hospital, Amanda is in Peter's office, and she just got off the phone with Bruce, and she's like, Peter, he sounded so scared.
I love how Amanda just runs business out of his office now. Like,
right.
She's always just in there with her feet up on the desk, like on the business phone. When she owns the place. I was like, this is unprofessional. No,
she's always in his office. Like, what? She's always in the chief of staff's office or the chief hospital, whatever. He runs the hospital now. Doesn't she have work to do at D&D?
But she's just like in there like it's her office.
I know. It's so funny. And she's like, I don't know, Peter. Bruce is really fucked up. He just had a heart attack. Should we be doing this? He's really scared because he lost a fortune in D&D stock. She's like, I don't think I can do this to him. I actually want to pull out. And Peter's like, look, Amanda, this is the same guy who stole your thunder at the KD event.
Like that, let's destroy this man for stealing your thunder.
He didn't. Oh, yeah, because he said it was a group effort.
Yeah, and fuck not, that guy. I don't care if he rots in hell.
The two examples he gives are such weak examples because he's like, and then he took Chaz's side in the sexual harassment suit, which he honestly didn't do. He just took the side of like corporate procedure.
And it's also kind of a difficult position to be in. And if it was like the opposite sex wise,
right.
He would be right for doing that. Everyone would be like, of course. Like,
right. No, these are not good enough reasons.
No, but Peter is so, he does not give a shit about anyone. And I love it. Like, that's how you move through life as a villain.
Yes.
You cannot care. Amanda's still soft.
She's still a little soft. And she's like, I can't do it. He's sick. And Peter's like, so Amanda Woodward is having a crisis of conscience. It's too late to pull out now, though.
Yeah, he's like, that's so cute when you're human. Like, it's just like, he's charmed.
Yeah.
He's charmed by it, but no.
Matt and Jeffrey are having dinner at his apartment, and Jeffrey clocks that Matt's being weird. And Matt tells him that he got a surprise visit from his dad at the hospital today, and that his dad wants him and Jeffrey to tell everyone at Thanksgiving that they're just really good friends.
Classic.
A classic. And Jeffrey's like, I can't do that. No. I'm like not in the closet anymore.
He's like, I don't ask, don't tell anymore.
And Matt's like, honestly, I don't either. And I was proud of him.
No, they need to put those parents in their place.
His parents are a couple of dorks.
They need to fuck off with this shit already. That's their son.
That's their son. And honestly, I just know that that Thanksgiving meal was trash.
No, that turkey was dry.
That was dry. Matt probably makes a mean Thanksgiving dinner.
He does, because we've seen it before, I'm pretty sure.
Remember in the first season, yes. He made Thanksgiving?
He was the only one holding that group together. Like,
they were he like, made the whole meal.
Yeah.
He made the whole fucking meal, and it was probably delicious.
Yeah, not like Susan's.
Ugh. At Joe's, Kimberly stops by, and she wants to talk, and she's like, Joe, I want to help you keep your baby. I have a way to make everyone believe your baby is dead.
I laughed out loud when she said that. I don't know why it was so dark.
And Joe's like, huh?
Will you spell it out for me? You're going to kill my baby? Joe is so, Joe needs a wake up call.
And Kimberly's like, we'll induce labor a week before your due date. And you can have your baby at the beach house and I'll sign a death certificate saying the baby was stillborn. And then you can run away with your baby.
This is the most soap opera shit I have ever heard. Because first of all, doctors don't just sign a death certificate and that's it.
You need a coroner.
Like, you don't just be like, yeah, the baby died. We were at my house. The baby died. We already cremated it.
At my house.
Like, I'm sorry. Did you throw it on the beach bonfire? Like, this is, you have procedures and protocols to go through.
This is crazy.
You don't just get rid of a baby body because it's like, oh, if it's under a month, you can just do that. No. You can just trash it. You can just throw it in the trash.
No, like, it's crazy. It is crazy. There's more like good things you do with a pet that dies than this scenario.
I was like, this plan is so soap opera.
Also, what is Joe supposed to do after that when she runs away? Like, she's going to need new identities.
And I'm sorry, you just lost custody. They're going to be really suspicious.
No, this is the worst plan. And Joe is a fucking idiot once again.
No, she's like, what?
Yeah. Huh?
I don't know.
Instead of an immediate, are you crazy? No.
That, yeah, instead of being like, that will make things worse. Like,
no, she literally is like, I gotta sleep on it.
Like, her only concern is like, but you barely know me. Like that's it. That's your one concern with this plan. That's completely crazy.
Right. Yeah, she's like, why would you do this for me? And then she's like, and she says, and we can't tell anyone, not even Michael.
Yeah. And she's like, just, you know, come over for Thanksgiving and we'll make our decision then. And Joe goes on Thanksgiving, by the way.
Yeah, she does go.
Which is crazy because I'd be like, think about it, but I'm not going to Thanksgiving at the beach house.
No.
She can't drive in that condition.
Sydney returns home and Mr. Black is waiting for her. And he knows a lot of information about Sydney, including her Chicago, that Jane's going to Chicago for Thanksgiving. And he knows that she used to work for Lauren. And he tells her, my boss has a friend who might be interested in a little trade. And if you give him what he wants, then we'll leave Jake alone. And she's like, if you don't, Mr. Black is like, if you don't, your friend Jake will meet with a little industrial accident.
I was like, industrial? He doesn't work at a factory. What are you going to do?
His hand's going to go on the deep fryer at Shooters.
I was like, his leg's going to get crushed in a gear at Shooters? Like, what are you talking about?
It's going to be a kitchen accident,
that's
right?
So, I guess, but he acted like his leg would get, I was like, what?
No, he acted like it was some industrial factory.
You don't want him to lose a leg, do you? I was like, what? What in the world?
How's that going to happen? And so Sydney's real scared. And she says, fine, I'll do it. Just leave him alone.
I was also kind of like, to be honest, this seems like a pretty good deal. Like,
that is a good deal.
Like, no $1,000 a month for life just to fuck someone once. Like,
right.
I'm just saying. I was like, that seems sus, though. Because why would they do this deal?
The next day, Matt goes to his parents' house and he's brought a couple of bakery pies.
That's all they deserve.
That's all they deserve. They don't deserve Matt's home-cooked pie. He's like picked up a couple of, they're like grocery store pies.
Yeah.
We don't even know. And he's like, just want to stop by and bring you guys dessert and let you know that Jeffrey and I won't be able to make it today. And the mom's like, why not? And she's like, we can't live by your rules. And she's like, Matt, I'm sure we can find some kind of middle ground. And he's like, no, I'm not going to not pretend to be gay. I'm not going to pretend to be straight for you. And she says, well, where should I tell everyone you are? And he says, why don't you tell them I'm having dinner with my lover?
Well, yeah, Mom, we fuck.
We fuck. And the mom goes, oh. She lets out this like deep sigh.
It's like, come up with your own fucking lie, bitch.
Yeah.
Like, why is it Matt's responsibility?
Why is it his problem?
Just say he's working at the hospital. It's not that hard.
Yeah. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. That night, Sydney is at the hotel waiting for the John, and Mr. Black arrives to give her the room key. And so she goes upstairs, and the room is dark. And suddenly, a light flicks on, and we see, "Hello, Sydney. Thanks for coming. It's Chris."
I wrote, "Oh my fucking God, it's Chris." Like, I was shocked. I was like, how did I not see this coming?
It's Chris. It's Chris. And he says, "Jake should have never hit me."
So he has orchestrated this whole thing, including hiring an extra from Guys and Dolls.
He's hired an extra from Guys and Dolls to intimidate Jake at his place of work.
This is crazy.
And he says, he's like, Sydney's like, "Please, I'm begging you. I'll get Jake to apologize." And he goes, "That's not what I want." And she's like, "Why are you doing this to me? You're supposed to be in love with my sister." And he admits it to us here. He says, because he says, "Jane lacks that slutty quality."
"Jane won't let me taste all her juices."
Ew. And Sydney's like, he's like, "I'm going to have them kill, like, I will have them fuck up Jake. Those guys will beat up Jake."
I love how he's also like, "I've got a lot of connections in Vegas." Like, we don't know about his Vegas connections. Like, we're supposed to buy that he's some fucking, like, underworld figure.
No, he's just a loser with a gambling problem.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going on.
So Sydney, we end on Sydney crying as she unbuttons her jacket. So presumably she had sex with him.
Ugh, that's such a bad feeling. Like, I mean, for Sydney, just like, I mean, obviously it's awful. But it's also like he finally won.
I know.
That's what sucks so bad, and you have no choice.
You have no choice at this point. Allison calls Zach. She's in her apartment, and she wants to know where he is.
She's drinking a pint of vodka.
Dude, she's
like, has a tall.
She's got the tall glass.
Tall glass of vodka.
She's drinking it. And Zach is at his house with some college friends who randomly stop by, and they're watching football. And she's like, "Zach, my friends made dinner. They think we're coming." And he's like, "Just go without me and come over later." And she's upset, and she chugs the rest of her drink, and then she heads over to Billy and Susan's. And she tells them that Zach can't make it. And Susan's like, "Oh, well, I guess that'll give us a chance to talk." And Allison goes, "About what?"
That was so Joan Crawford of her in Whatever Happened to Baby. No, I'm sorry, Betty Davis. And
Betty
whatever.
Davis.
Yeah, like when she's like, "What?" Because she's like, "Here's some wine." And she's like she's on one already.
Because she's just chugged the rest of that vodka before heading over. So she's drunk.
I love when she's like, "About what?" Because it's dripping.
It's dripping.
It's just dripping with anger and fucking rage. And I love that Allison. That's my favorite Allison.
Ugh.
It's so good.
It's so good. She's at her most powerful.
Yes.
This turns out to be a really lame two-person intervention. And Billy's like, "Allison, ever since you started seeing this guy, Zach, you changed."
"Zach is bad news, Allison." "Bad news."
And I love Allison's like just rolling her eyes and shaking her head.
She is disgusted with them.
And she's like, "Who are you guys?" She's like, "Look at you.
The moral majority of two." "Look at you. You need the intervention because you suck."
And she says, "You just can't take the fact that I'm fine with you being a couple and I have a new boyfriend who's crazy about me. I hope you two are very happy in your neurotic little love nest." and then she gets up to leave, and Billy stops her, and she goes, "Get your hand off me."
He's like, "You were drunk when you walked in." he busted her.
He was like, "You're drunk, Allison.
Go sleep it off." Go sleep it off, Allison. You're drunk.
It's So what is him and Susan going to do? Just have Thanksgiving together?
They're just going to like hold themselves and like be cuddle. Like,
that was traumatic.
Well, here's my squab.
Joe is at the beach house holding her belly. Kimberly gives her some cranberry juice and they're going to have dinner out on the deck, which is insane because they're in Malibu in November outside. Do you know how cold that is?
Also, hilarious and very Ocean Spray that it was cranberry juice cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
That was like so of that period. Like that was the drink.
That was the drink.
And I don't really even know what it is. Did it have other juice in it?
Yeah, it has like white grape juice
but in it. But it tastes really sweet. Like cranberry juice.
Cranberry juice cocktail. That's what
it's
called.
I laughed out loud because I was like, that is so 90s.
It's so 90s.
The Ocean Spray commercials were so big then.
Well, dude, yes. Yes.
Ocean Spray was it. You had to have cranberry juice. Like, it was big.
It was super big. And so Kimberly's like, I'm your last hope, Joe.
And Joe's like, maybe you're right. Yeah. And they... It's like this whole conversation about a mother's love, about like how what a mother will do for the love of
her
to protect her baby.
It's so dumb. And so Joe agrees to the plan.
Let's do it, I guess. Come on, Kimberly, it's you and me. Just like the most insane plan ever.
It's so stupid. Allison is driving drunk over to Zach's house while she's on the car phone talking to him.
You cannot. Those car phones were a bad idea.
she's driving drunk on the car phone, and she's like, Zach, I love football. I'm coming over.
This was just, and we're like, the way they're filming it is so dramatic because we're like seeing the headlights light up ahead. It's a stop sign. It looks like a cliff. So I was like, does she drive over the cliff? I couldn't remember.
No, she's just driving very erratically because she's drunk and she's just driving through the neighborhood.
Yeah, but it's dark.
It's dark out and she's paying more attention to this phone call with Zach.
She's trying to hang up. And she's too drunk to hang up.
Yeah, because the car phones, they all have this cradle.
You have to fit it into it exactly. It's like a puzzle.
It is like
she's
a puzzle.
Like, God damn it. She can't fit it in the fucking cradle.
It's a little cradle. Like it clicks in.
Yeah.
You got to click it in.
Otherwise,
right?
That call's going to keep charging.
And those fees on the car phone are crazy. I remember like I'd be home alone because my mom would be working single mom, and I'd be home like calling my mom to bother her. And I'd call her on her car phone and she would be like, do not call me on this line.
Kids of today will never know the pressure of making an expensive phone call. No, because it's like, even that was like, use *69, or like you had to do some 10-10 wins first.
10-10-2-2-1.
Yeah, wasn't there something to get like a cheaper long distance rate?
There was like 10-10-3-2-1 or whatever.
Yeah.
You had to like dial some number. No, but anytime I would call my mom to ask her like the dumbest fucking question, like, do we have frozen pot stickers?
Where's the Teddy Graham? Yeah. And you're like, that was $10, you asshole.
No, she would fucking lose it and be like, do you know how expensive this car phone is? Like, well, why do you have it? This is an emergency. I need to know where these Teddy Grahams are.
I'm still traumatized by someone showing me a phone bill and like pointing to something and me being like, I don't know. Yeah. That wasn't me.
And like, it was?
Yeah, of course. You never admit to a really expensive phone call.
No, it's so funny because kids will never have to deal with that problem again.
It was crazy.
I bet like the thing nowadays, I wonder like if the thing nowadays that kids are getting busted for is like spending money on like mobile games or something.
Or going over the data plan or something. But I don't even think that happens anymore.
Because you can get unlimited data.
You can, but sometimes I think there still is like some kind of limit.
I have the exact same phone bill every month because I have unlimited data.
But I think it's really hard to go over.
Yeah.
I think it's really hard to go over unless you're doing a ton of stuff that we don't really do.
I mean,
I think you can go over. It's just almost impossible for us.
Yes.
Because I have gotten warnings when I do like a long distance drive and I haven't been on Wi-Fi. like multiple times or use my phone a lot and I forgot to turn Wi-Fi on, I will get a notification where it's like 75% of your data has been used.
Right.
But then I'd like, oh, okay, I better get online or whatever and it's fine.
No, I just remember like, I mean, it was so easy to get like a wildly expensive phone bill back in the day.
Oh, and I would remember seeing like the call. It was like $22. Like, who did you call?
No, and calling my grandma who lives in Philadelphia. Like, that was like, okay.
Wrap it up.
Wrap it up. This is costing money.
Grandma can... grandma, or remember it would be like, have them call you. Like, don't call them. It's just so funny to think about how we used to think about that fucking shit.
Have them call you.
Did you get them to call you?
Did we call them?
It's embarrassing.
Did we call them?
It's your mother.
Totally. Are we getting charged for this?
Oh my God.
When something would be roaming? Like a roaming charge?
Did you ever do the thing where you would call on the payphone? But collect, but you would just be like, come pick me up at the mall. Like you would just call collect, but not actually go through.
Yes.
That was the best.
I remember calling my mom collect multiple times and again being mad. Why are you calling me collect?
Yeah. Collect. I used to do the collect call all the time.
I would call because I had no money.
No,
a kid.
I didn't have a fucking dime. Are you kidding me? A quarter, whatever it was.
I would just call everybody collect on the payphone. Oh my God. Oh, that's so funny.
So anyway, Allison's trying to hang up the phone.
Allison's trying to hang up the car phone. And little does she know, a cyclist is coming out of a driveway. Now, to be fair, and I'm saying this as a cyclist, the cyclist was not being very safe.
But this cyclist seemed like they were in a different show.
Yes.
Because I was like, why is he wearing like a... red, white, and blue beanie. Like, he just looked like he was really sunny and everything was dark. It was crazy.
This cyclist was on Full House.
No, it was like a sitcom cyclist. I don't know why. I was like, that's not the same show.
It was also like a kid.
I was like, what kid is out riding his cheerful bike this late at night?
It's like 10 p.m. at night on Thanksgiving and some kid is out riding his bike. No,
the whole thing was so weird. I was like, what?
It should have been like clearly some business guy going home from like riding home from somewhere.
Or just like a family walking after Thanksgiving dinner maybe. And she hits the whole family.
Yeah.
No, the bicyclist was crazy. It's like, what is this kid doing?
It's like a teenage bicyclist. It makes no
sense. And
he just
juts out right in front of this car.
Yeah, like, he jumps out from a driveway in front of Allison's car. And Allison hits him head on with her car.
He goes over the car.
He T-bones him. She T-bones him.
Yeah.
And then he flips over the car and...
It really reminded me of when Michael got hit by a car.
Yeah, because
he
flips.
Went over the
Because he goes over the hood and flips over. And then Allison obviously comes to a screeching halt and she goes, oh my God. Oh my God.
And to be fair to Allison, like you said, this really is the fault of the cyclist, but because Allison is drunk, she's automatically going to get in trouble, right? Like,
yes.
It's one of those things where it's like, once you're drunk driving, it doesn't matter whose fault anything is.
I'm just saying, as the person directing the scene, I would have had Allison be blowing through a stop sign.
Yes.
Because
make it
then,
really her fault, period.
Right. She was going through kind of an intersection or he was coming out of a driveway where she should have been more aware.
He shot right out, though.
But he did shoot right out.
And Allison wasn't looking. I would have had her just be drunk driving.
I mean, she was drunk.
I mean, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because they also had, it's like, we didn't really need her trying to hang the phone up because that could happen when you're sober.
Right.
You're not paying attention or whatever.
Right.
I just say, I like the idea of her blowing through the stop sign.
Because
that's definitely you fucked up, girl.
Right.
I mean, she fucked up, period.
She fucked
but like,
up, period.
Well, you know what we're saying.
Yeah. It just would have been a lot more clear, but because this cyclist was a little
just because he
unsafe.
Looks like Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Like, that's my memory, that he had one of those spinny hats.
No, he didn't, but he did, spiritually.
Yeah, spiritually, he was that guy.
Why did he look like he... I need to, like, see it again.
It was a little... My memory is truly, like, he was wearing, like, a little short suit. Like, he was leaving the circus.
No, but, like, that was his vibe. He was on a totally different show.
No, you're right. It's a sitcom bicyclist. It was a sitcom. He drove in off of, like...
Full House.
Full House set.
He came off the Miller Boyette Full House vibe set.
He's like, whoa, wrong set. I'm on the Fox lot now.
Yeah. Whoopsies.
Oh my God.
It was so fucking funny. It was so fucking funny. But crazy because I don't even remember what happens to Elle. I assume she's going to get booked.
Well, remember this episode opened with the bars.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Like it this opens. With- that's like a genius. We don't often see that kind of artistry. No, Melrose Place. That like was intentional artistry.
That was cinema.
Yeah.
Between that and the Chris reveal, this episode.
How did they do that? I need to know because how was I so clueless that Chris was behind this?
Because the writing was so good and subtle because Chris is not in this episode, so we're not thinking of him, but it's not too obvious because he is mentioned briefly in the earlier scenes by Sydney.
Well, and the funny thing is, I was like truly racking my brain who is the guy she's going to see because I was like, it's got to be a reveal. Chris didn't once cross my mind.
No, I wasn't even thinking.
I was like, was it Palmer Woodward?
Like, that would have been fucking funny.
I literally was like, I knew it was going to be a reveal, but right. I was like, who is it? Like Lauren? Like
I didn't even think it was going to be a reveal. I genuinely was just thinking, oh, it's probably some really gross guy.
Yeah, I kind of thought it was a reveal, which makes it even more embarrassing that I didn't think it was Chris. Like, that literally didn't even cross my mind. And part of me was kind of like, well, like, it's like at least Chris is like attractive. Like, at least it wasn't a gross guy, but I don't know which is worse. Like,
it's just so bad.
It's so bad.
And it makes you think, like, oh, if only she had an iPhone because she could be recording this whole thing.
Yeah, but like she'd probably fuck it up somehow.
Yeah.
Because
she'd only record them fucking.
She'd record her one time after he's like, say this.
Right.
And that would be the only thing on it. Where yeah. She's like, Chris, you're so good.
Right.
Or some stupid thing he made her say.
Yeah.
No, I don't remember anything about this story. It's so gross, though.
Oh,
I hate it.
Oh, my God. I just can't wait for him to get his comeuppance. I don't even remember what it is. Like, does he get murdered? I don't even remember.
It's got to happen. I bet you he gets some kind of gambling thing happens.
Does he get buried in the Vegas desert? Who knows?
And Sydney's like, good riddance. And Jane's devastated because
Wait.
Oh, wait.
I just remembered. And I think it does have to do with the Vegas
desert. Now that I think about it. Like, you're taking guesses, but it's actually from your memory.
No, it's literally just from my memory. It is something crazy if I remember. If I'm remembering correctly, I don't remember how we get there.
Yeah.
But now I'm remembering, oh, it is fucking crazy.
Good.
Okay, I'm excited.
Bye.
Bye, we'll see you next week.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.